back.
He's back. So the dust settles from your most recent victory in combat. Necromantic green light fades from this huge dragon's corpse and it becomes still. The pale, fat, toad-like humanoid figure that once presided over this whole ordeal vanishes, leaving behind a thick cloud of smoke. Silence overtakes the swamp once more. And we're back at that battle map here with Dragon Bones.
I'm going to walk over to these dead guys and see if they got anything on them worth finding.
Is this for crafting, or are you, like, rifling through their stuff, or what?
Probably less for crafting, at least initially. More just like, what the heck are these? Yeah, what do they got on them?
Yeah, give me an investigation.
19.
So one of them has, so they're both wearing pretty like tattered cloaks. One of the cloaks has a symbol on it that I'm not sure if you necessarily would recognize or not, Rick. But it's a bone white skull that's inset into a black triangle. As far as valuables, these were skeletons, so I think they each have, like, you know, quarter staffs on them.
Hey guys, has anyone seen this symbol before? It's interesting. I don't know what this is.
I'm gonna look and I'm gonna try to think back and see if I remember any of this from my college days by hopefully doing a history check.
Okay.
Which gives me a +9, which is pretty. I feel so cool. I'm so smart. 10 + 9 = 19.
This is the symbol of the god Miracle. I hope I'm saying that right. I know there are some Forgotten Realms enthusiasts in here who is a god of death, kind of prayed to by necromantic people. So that's what the symbol on this cloak refers to.
Mm-hmm. That's the god of death you see there. Miracle.
I guess that makes sense, being a skeleton and all.
This place is wild.
So it was on, just to clarify for me, it was on the cloak or on the forehead of the skull?
So the symbol is the skull with inset into a triangle, and it was on the cloak.
On the cloak, okay.
Yeah. Yep, that this skeletal priest was wearing.
Were they holding anything that they were reading from or anything like that? That'd do this.
Sorry. That's my cat.
This is you? Oh, is it cat furring?
Yeah.
That was
cat fur.
That was that's definitely a thing in the recording. That's funny. There it is.
Is this the like cat remix? Are you like scratching on your cat over there?
I don't know. Sometimes he likes to rub his face on the mic. It's weird.
That's funny. That's cute.
When there's a plot twist, you have to do some cat purring.
Yeah. It's actually his familiar.
It's yeah.
Familiar. You could check, Bazell, if you wanted to do your own investigation.
I mean, I as a player am interested. I don't think Bazell's. Bazell is definitely interested, though, in the dragon bones.
Okay.
She's particularly interested if anything is missing from this dragon.
Doesn't seem to be. Like what?
Like, does the dragon have all of its horns?
It seems to, yes. Seems to be, from what you know of dragon skeletons, seems to be intact. You want to make a check for more information?
Yeah. She would basically, I think, just use her knowledge of dragons have played a somewhat important role in her life. And so she probably has actually, like, tried to learn some things about dragons.
Yeah, it probably comes up in the Fae ancestry stories.
And also, since she's killed a dragon, she probably has a fair amount of knowledge.
True. I'd say investigation, probably. Do you have a question about it? What's your question? I guess you already asked me.
Not really. It's probably more of a perception than an investigation.
Okay.
8.
8. Yeah, it seems grossly intact.
All the cranial nerves?
Yeah. Yep. No cute obvious findings. Not this dragon skeleton.
Are the mushrooms on the map the same mushrooms that we found in the cave in that other time? Or are they different?
They're different. The ones you found in the Spore Depths are kind of like all comers. They had like a whole rainbow of different kinds of mushrooms in there. I think I described them as all like differing shades and bioluminescence and stuff. These are all kind of a dull brown. You have seen them before.
I remember where.
Yeah, it's you remember briefly fighting a dragon that had fungal elements kind of protruding from its carapace.
Oh, shortly is after this you got the here. Dragon that we charmed? Whoa. All right, now I have a specific question. Is this the dragon that we charmed earlier?
Seems the same size, and it has the same mushrooms as the dragon that you ran into.
Oh, poor guy.
Yeah. He would have remembered us. We were good friends.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting. It's on like the other side of the map.
Hmm. Yeah. I assume you guys are like sort of relaying this information to each other. You're not keeping secrets.
No secrets among friends.
Was there anyone at Denny's that was particularly interested in our dragon encounter? Because they would be the only people to know.
Yeah, he dropped. So you ran into the dragon, Fungoxus, on your way to Denny's before you got, because you were on your way from the Spore Depths to the Nestor's Post. Then you were going to go from there to Denny's, and you had a random encounter in between the first leg. So it was in that stretch of the swamp, in the eastern part of the swamp. And then the dragon just like dropped you off at Denny's because of Rick's suggestion. So people saw it briefly in the restaurant, and I think that's all you would know. Why doesn't everybody give me a, nature check or Arcana, whichever's better for you.
Arcana is a lot better. 14 for Rick.
9 for Quill.
Wow. 28 for Theron.
I'll wait for Bizarre, but...
At 20.
At 20. Oh. Yeah, it occurs to Bizarre and Theron instantly that every dragon has a hoard. So somewhere in the swamp, Fungoxus would have secreted away his stash of gold and magical items and that kind of stuff. But yeah, it seems like he's been kind of flying around, obviously, up until now.
Fungoxus.
Yeah. How is there a way to, like, find the secret fucking hoard? Vizel can think of nothing else. I'm not sure Vizel is going to be able to continue the adventure until she finds the hoard, guys.
All that promise of gold?
Yeah.
Man.
Vizel starts looking for like tracks and shit to see where the dragon came from.
Survival check?
Yeah, I guess. 9.
You don't see any footprints. What you see is like this seems like a crash site. Like this thing was brought down while it was still flying and it hit the ground and kind of however long this I'd made this on the map, it kind of like gouged a large path of the swamp out beneath it as it came to a stop. 120 feet.
If I recall correctly, this rock that Rick and I are standing at is mm-hmm. where that image was.
Yes.
And I want to investigate it.
Okay.
I don't have the best of investigation skills, but I still want to do it.
Sure.
16.
Okay. It's a large rock that has a nice flat polished surface. It's great for standing on. It's a great spot to stand.
I'm gonna sit on it and I'm gonna pull out my pipe and start smoking.
Nice.
If only one of us could detect magic. Derek.
I asked for a drag of the pipe.
I don't have detect magic. I looked.
I take a big draw and then I give it to him.
Nice. Oh, it's a ritual. Does that mean I don't have it prepared?
Just always cast that for free as long as you spend 10 minutes on it.
Even though do I have to have it readied?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Okay. Cool. I will start casting that. For the duration, you sense the presence of magic within 30 feet of you, so I'll get close to the...
Well, I assume we'll just let that go unless somebody else has anything. Yeah, Theron, when that spell finishes, like immediately you're hit by this just like sickening wave of extremely strong necromancy, much stronger and more sinister than you've really encountered before. And you guys have run into some undead things now, even before he came into the Shadowfell. This is like a uniquely powerful, fading, residual necromancy sense that you're picking up.
Guys, I feel a sense of dread after casting that spell. There's like darkness and necromancy here.
I take back my pipe and take a big, deep draw from it.
I think that gold frog man is a bad dude. Bad dude.
Who are these frog people?
Gold is never bad.
Did you say gold is never bad?
I was thinking that you guys weren't going to pull that off. I was expecting the dragon to actually get resurrected last session, which tells me I need to start. I need to build my fights a little bit deeper because you guys are killing it.
So do I get the sense that necromancy is like left over from a resurrection attempt, or is there like more going on?
Yeah, if you keep walking around, you would feel some of that presence near the corpse of Fungoxus, but it's that feels more like to you like, yeah, this is strong necromancy. It's like a mid-level necromancy spell they were casting. Whatever you were getting from this facsimile of Zektul is something different, more powerful, or more ancient, maybe is a better way to put it.
Does it look like something we could should we stand on it? He said it's like great for standing. Something gonna happen if we stand on it.
Quill just told me that he investigated the rock, so I told him what the rock is cooking.
It looks like it's asking us to stand on it. And I just start standing on it.
How long does it take, magic? 10 minutes? Okay.
I jump up there with him.
The only thing that happens there is that you just feel really uncomfortable, and that dread, like the word you used was dread. That's a good way to put it. As you're standing in the place that this apparent like projection of Zektul was briefly.
Hey, Bazal, I think there's gold under this thing. Do you want to help me roll it around?
I get off and I start to try to move it with Theron because I know that.
It's a little grossed out.
Yeah. I know that she's not going to do that. So, Rick will help.
She really wants to, because maybe there's gold in it, but she also really doesn't want to. This is gross.
Because are you pushing this huge rock?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Standing rock.
I need 3 athletics checks, and we'll need 2 successes to move it. I'm going to say it's a DC 13 athletics check.
I have no bonus for athletics.
Got a 5.
So it's like a 3 like spindly dudes pushing on a huge rock.
Yeah.
I got a 2.
I slip in the mud.
Theron slips, yeah.
My arthritis kicks in. Ah! This is like bone on rock.
I'm doing one of those like with the pipe. It's like stuck out of my mouth, kind of like the smoker that's like trying to move something is like
Popeye, like,
yeah,
Popeye face.
It's just like straining against this rock that's like twice my size. Just totally unsuccessful. Well, it was a good run.
Yeah, it doesn't budge. It's very heavy.
So my recollection is that we were heading north towards the Grungwall. Is that right? And we came upon this clearing. But we aren't yet to our destination.
That's what I recall. Yep.
I mean, it might just be time to move on from this place.
We could try to harvest some, like, I don't know.
Some fiend's hearts.
Fiend's hearts here?
I'm sure not.
When did you guys fight a fiend?
I'm just looking at the things I want. And I sure want a fiend's heart.
Dragons have tusks. Can I get some tusks?
You can for sure get Tusk, unless you like really just botch your roll super hard.
Demonic skeletons are fiendish to me.
I'll let you roll for it.
I mean, I don't. They're not fiends, but
yeah, they're fiendish.
A guy's got to try.
They're hounds. They're real dogs.
I'm sure I can get some bone meal from these motherfuckers. I love me some meal. All right, I'll. Roll on this 11.
2 boners.
Yeah.
I'll add that for you.
Got my meal.
And meal.
I'm going to call Eleven's boners from now on.
Two boners.
Two boners.
I could make it. I could make a reference, but I'm not going to because I want to give it more time.
Are any of these trees nice looking? Any fine wood in this swamp?
There's a lot of trees. Why don't you give me a why don't you give me an investigation? We'll see if you can. These all look pretty dead and gnarly, but they're standing, so.
13.
Yeah, I don't think so. They're dead, and we even see, like, some of them have been scorched. Like, some of these trees that got knocked over when Fungox has collapsed. So a lot of them are burned.
I already forgot where we saw that really good wood.
That was on the way. That was your encounter on the way to this encounter. That was your random encounter.
Can I try to harvest some of that for fine wood? Or do we have to, we're going to go back because we needed it for boat. It wasn't good for, it's not like fine wood, it's just like boat building.
I think whatever you wanted to use that for, it would certainly work as a source of fine, probably a lot of fine wood, honestly. It struck you as a particularly sturdy and lively cypress. So yes, it would be good for boat building. That's ideal for that, okay. But I feel like I couldn't say no to fine wood on that either. Was I breaking up?
I couldn't hear you, sorry.
Oh. Could people hear me okay? Besides Nate? Okay.
I've got my volume turned all the way up. I just can't
hear loud. Yeah. No, I was saying the obvious use for that stood out to you guys was making a belly out of it, but if you wanted to use it for harvesting fine wood for crafting, that for sure would be okay. It's whatever you want to do with it. I was saying it struck you as a particularly lively and sturdy tree, so cypress.
I'll turn my TV off downstairs. Maybe that'll help me hear what's going on.
Okay.
The pains of new computer ownership.
Issues. Oh, yeah.
Hopefully that helps, guy. What volume I need to set stuff at. Can you guys talk again for me?
Yep.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Testes. 1, 2, 3.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, hello, hello.
Shaking his
hello,
head.
Hello,
All those hellos reminded me for some reason of SpongeBob. That I don't remember which episode it was. Just like, hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello. I've never seen an episode of SpongeBob SquarePants in my life.
I have not either.
Is that weird?
It's a little weird, but my little brother was the target audience. So
I could probably stuck
into watching it.
Yeah, I could probably generate like 10 to 15 different meme formats of SpongeBob. Like I know a lot of the memes.
Yeah.
But once I get my final I don't want to call it my final solution, but my desktop and my workstation switch to how I want them to be, I'm gonna get like a mic, like a proper, not like a podcasting mic, but an actual mic so that you guys can hopefully hear me.
Yeah.
Me a little better.
I would like to get one of those too. Are your headphones only Bluetooth?
Mine?
No, Nate's.
Or Nate's.
I've got some non-Bluetooth ones, but I'm not sure that my computer has an audio jack because it's like one of the. Maybe it does. I can try it.
I think that, yeah, on the back there should be a jack.
Currently potty training Olivia right now. It's actually going shockingly well, so it's exciting.
Nice, man.
Yeah.
You guys still hear me?
Yes.
Yep.
How old is she now?
She's a little over 2.5.
Holy smokes.
She's closer to 2.5.
You potty train at 2.5? Oh my god, that's only a year away.
Yeah, that's incredible because
yeah,
Sophie is not prepared for that.
Every kid is so different, I think.
Yeah.
We tried it earlier and it wasn't going to happen, so we didn't want to force it. Because my my brother and one of his kids, they went like before two. It was something crazy. And then that kid like had a really bad regression a couple years later and like, yep. Like wouldn't poop. I was like,
what?
So yeah, we're But she seemed ready and she was curious about it, and she's going to preschool in the fall, so she needs to be for that. So
yep.
It's like, all right.
Nate, is it better?
Yeah. I think it's better.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Well, good for you guys if you can get her to.
Yeah. Obviously the overnight pull-ups is gonna be a thing for a while, but that's fine.
Yeah.
Yep, she's extremely stubborn, but which is hard. But that also goes hand in hand with being really independent. So she realized that she gets more independence this way. Like, she started chasing us out of the bathroom and closing the door. Like the second day. Like, okay. Anyway,
please give me privacy.
In the world, but yeah.
Get out of here.
Come right, back. So I need you.
Yeah.
I need a wiper. Yeah. Ron always would be like, Daddy, wiper.
I apparently have a song I used to sing.
Nice.
Nice.
I used to say concentrate.
You were concentrating on spells back then.
I was. Ritual cast.
Create water.
Create water.
Well, I'm glad that your headphones work.
Sorry, that one got me.
That's good. I think Bazel said you were gonna look for Tuss on the dragon.
Yeah, sure.
Go for it.
Nat 20.
Holy shit.
Damn.
This thing is made of Tuss, dude. That Tuss. Tuss have Tuss. Dude, that's a big deal.
The Tuss said Tuss.
Well, don't I get like a free, like, I get a sweet, a free, like, use of something, right?
You
like,
get, so you learn five uses.
There's so many Tuss, the Tuss said Tuss.
So you get four Tuss, Bazel. That's the max amount you can ever harvest. So,
okay.
Nice. And then you get to know what they do for every.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, this happened once before. I forget what it was for.
Bazel just starts like lecturing them about dragon tusks.
That's good. Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, you know, you can like bedazzle them and it can actually heal you a little bit.
Cure wounds.
And if you attach it to an arrow, it'll like, and the arrow hits, it'll like push people around. It can be sewn into like a satchel or a merce if that's more your style. And she looks at Theron when she says that. And then
that's the bag of tricks.
And then it makes a great handle for a dagger. It gets a little warm if like, you know, your palms get sweaty and knees are weak, then like the handle of the dagger gets a little bit warm.
Spaghetti. That's the dagger of warning. Ooh, and that's a good one.
It's a really good one. But you know, the best use for them is actually ground up into meal and used as a nice little cure-all for anything that ails you.
Oh,
potion of greater healing. Yes.
The goblinoid ear.
I'm gonna award a point of inspiration to Bazel for narrating that. That was fun for me.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Those lovely descriptions were great.
Yeah. I think those are all 5e. I'm pretty sure. Because if they're in italics. So what is the bag of tricks? I forget. You pull a figure, it looks like you pull randomly a small fuzzy object out of the bag of tricks and you throw it and it turns into that creature. And that creature becomes friendly to you. And it could be anything from a weasel to a boar to a panther or a dire wolf. There's a bunch of different things on here.
And it's random. Which one do you get?
Yes, you roll a d8. Yep. Weapon of warning, dagger of warning, but I guess it could be whatever you want. While you have that, you have advantage on initiative rolls. And you and your companions within 30 feet of you cannot be surprised.
Oh.
Except if you're incapacitated. And it magically awakens you and your companions if you're sleeping naturally when combat begins. It's pretty sweet.
That's very nice.
That's like a buffed, what was it called? Sting? Mm-hmm. From The Hobbit?
Yep.
When actually giving my descriptions, I tried to think of a Hobbit reference, but I could not. I was too slow in making a Hobbit reference.
Well, I mean, once everybody feels comfortable, I would vote to trudge north.
Is that where we think Gold Frogman is?
I think so.
Sounds good to me.
Is that where we think that this dragon's hoard is?
I don't know.
I don't know that we know, because it looks like this was like a crash spot.
Have we seen a giant... I think Vizel is going to take like a some sort of penalty to perception. Because okay. She is going to be basically looking for a stand of these mushrooms for the rest of the time that they're in this realm.
Okay.
But if there is a stand and we get close to it, you'll have to give me some sort of bonus on finding it.
To pick it out?
Yeah.
There it is!
Okay. All right, so if you ever, just yeah, remind me if you ever have to make a perception check for anything else.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll give you periodic mushroom updates. There's a lot of mushrooms out here. Kind of a theme. So if you guys are heading further northwest, I'm kind of imagining you on the map, the world map. So if we say halfway between Whitehaven and the Grung Wall, kind of where you ran into the hidden Grung camp in a forest, you're like halfway between that and the wall right now. So you're pretty close to the wall.
We're 3/4 of the way there.
Solve my math puzzle. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's not far. It's probably like a few hours walk. So I'm just going to roll a d6 really quick here or something.
Great.
Okay. Boners. Oh, wait, sorry.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, you get there. You're trudging further north, northwest. Kind of keeps getting a little bit colder up here. It's part of the winter swamp. And you come up on the wall. I remember this was Quill's. This is a long time ago. This was your construction during the quiet year. There was something about, like, it was built so as to keep large things from being able to pass through, but, like, smaller animals, flora and fauna.
Yeah, I think that's right.
I think that's what you said.
Yeah.
That's kind of like a palisade wall, sort of.
Yep.
Maybe not quite so... Yeah, I mean, those have, like, little
yeah, there's like
little gaps. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. So just like a sturdy wooden wall with spikes. Okay.
Yeah, I would say it's what I would think of is like a somewhat like not a tight wall.
Yeah.
Like large like trees, so okay. That it would, you know, almost like, I don't know, like posts, but it's not like you've got flat boards that you're putting up against it. It's just basically trunks of trees.
Okay.
That are sticking up from the ground. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think it took the settlers a long time to build it. So I think it was like a 6-week project. So that makes sense. It'd be pretty solid. That was back before they ran out of wood. Yeah. So you come up against the wall. It's massive. So it's very tall, say like 20 feet tall. In places, a little bit random because it is kind of natural, but like Quill was saying, there are some small gaps in between these large beams. You can't even see the end of it on the other side as you stand up next to it. It stretches for long enough. It takes up a pretty decent size of the map. And peering through it, you can make out dotted dead trees and just some kind of nondescript stone ruins. And those are just as massive, sprawling, just like a huge landscape of ruins on the other side of this huge wall.
And this is where the Grung used to live, right?
Yep.
And to their knowledge, was it supposed to be intact, or did they know that it was ruinous?
I don't know if you asked them about I keep forgetting what we've discovered so far about the Grung. I mean, I think you would surmise that. So you're looking at a huge, expansive, what looks like an old civilization. And so they obviously at one point were doing much better than they are now. It's sort of implying something happened and they fled at that time under the leadership of Zektul. You would know that because you know that he left. He came back north.
So I was thinking we would just try to get in.
I'm in.
Okay. Have you guys picked up any like intel on where you think ZT might be located within these ruins? I'm describing them as massive. I forget if you've heard anything or have any guesses.
I don't see anything in my notes.
Yeah, I don't think I know anything.
Yeah, I don't think it's come up. I think all you know is that he brought the survivors southeast because the ash was causing problems. That was the last straw, I think. They made camp. They sort of fortified themselves naturally as a, you know, an okay temporary half measure to live. And then for some reason, Zektul eventually left and came back this way. I think that's all you've discussed with Quix and or Zara or anybody else in the camp.
Okay.
Because you kind of you came out here to kind of at Quix's behest because he mentioned that there was he heard like a what sound I mean he heard the dragon roaring outside of the encampment, so he was like you could check that out. I will allow if you guys I have this if you've got Owlbear up right now.
Mm-hmm.
You guys see this like hex grid?
Mm-hmm.
So our boy ZT is in one of these hexes. And you could do a shotgun approach and start moving past the wall and into this haunted, eerie ruins.
Maybe we should go back.
As you get closer to the wall, you hear the occasional wailing and just eerie, strange sound, crackling of bones. I'm not trying to tell you guys to turn around, but that is an option. I made the map up for tonight in case you wanted to journey in past the wall.
So what happens if we pick a hex? Do you have a whole map to each hex?
No, God no.
Okay, I was like, damn, dude.
No, you'll be able to move one hex at a time. It looks like there's about 40 hexes in here, past the wall, I would guess, roughly. I've got a grid made up here, A through O and 1 through 12. So you can just tell me easier where you're going, but each time you enter a hex, something might happen. Not necessarily a combat, could be a combat. Yeah, it's kind of random. But eventually you will stumble upon the one that he's currently occupying, which I know. So without any intel, you'd essentially just be rolling in there and seeing what happens.
We need intel.
Yeah, maybe we should go back and talk with Quix, see if anyone can help us find this bad dude. I wonder if they even know he's bad.
I turn to Vizel.
Question.
And I expect to follow her Vizel. Lead.
Because I was looking around to see if any of those mushrooms are in the area.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to give me a perception check?
Yeah.
Another nat 20.
That would be incredible.
You find the map to his horde.
Yeah, right.
14.
You don't see any brown, rotting dragon mushrooms in the area, Giselle.
Well, guys, I don't think there are any mushrooms here, so going back is fine with me. Maybe I'll see some mushrooms on the way back. Yeah.
One track mind, though.
I turn around and walk the way we came.
I follow.
Yep, I'm following. Rick got a little spooked.
I'm not trying to... I think both options are viable. I just wanted to give you guys the option. So I'm not trying to tell you guys where to go.
That's right. The wailing told me where to go.
Yeah. I forgot to mention it was haunted up front.
Not there.
We realized that it was haunted when we got there, and now we are scared.
Now it's time to go.
Yeah. So I would say we probably just want to go back to the Grung encampment, looking out for dragon mushrooms along the way.
Naturally, yes.
Naturally.
You just want the mushrooms to try to find the gold, or?
Yes. Vizel's current theory is that near his hoard will be a bunch of, like, a field of those mushrooms growing.
It's like the rainbow to the pot of gold, but
that's right.
Mushrooms.
Fucking looking for those, that particular type of brown mushroom. She's hell bent on finding it. She's also for sure going to ask Quix if in his rangering if he's ever seen any of those brown mushrooms around.
You guys travel back to the encampment, and you've made this trip just recently, so you know a safe way back through the swamp. I think I kind of described the few separate areas. So this place is in like swamp water that's kind of high, like three-ish feet high. So, you know, most of you could wade through it, but it's, you know, who knows what's in that water. So there's big dead tree stumps that they've tied these really thick vines to that they kind of get around that way. Grung are amphibious, so they can kind of do both, but it's a little safer to swing around on vines above the water. And when you initially came in, you arrived at the southeast corner of the map here. This is the Apothecary's Retreat. That's where Zara, the shaman, and once second in command of the Grung camp, now she just kind of is in charge of brewing Delve. That's where she hangs out. She's got some like medicinal herbs planted around the periphery near the water. She's got a boiling kettle that's got this glowing white liquid in it now. I don't know why it's always white. Did that again. And then there are some simple bedrolls laid out, and there are some injured grung that are laying on those that she's tending to. That's that. Yeah.
We haven't been back since we got that. Sorry to interrupt the explanation.
Yeah.
But
no, go for it.
We haven't been back since we got that flower, right?
You have. So when you brought that back,
oh,
you gave Zara, and then you essentially gave her orchestrated a brief coup.
I remember the coup. I just couldn't remember if that was. We did come back. I forgot if we dropped that off. Sorry.
Yep. Continue. Nope. If you go down and see her, she's working on that down there.
Okay.
And then there are some vines connecting to a series of smaller little islands. The southwest that just have hammocks hanging from the trees, so that's kind of a resting area. And the structure at the northeast corner is so attached to like the largest trees in the swamp, they've made this triangular network of vines that's supporting a bunch of silk from those silverwing moths that they interact with. And that silk is, so it's kind of made a canopy that they can all kind of hang out on. And they used to spend more time at the Luminarium Nexus, but now they've been hanging out more over there. That's where Quix and his rangers like to kind of hang out up. They're kind of up, more up, elevated there and get a better view of the swamp. There's some of those little white paper lanterns hanging from those trees that those moths are attracted to. So that's how it's getting lit. And then the northwest corner, again, they used to spend more time here. This is the Nexus. It got the Luminarium name because of all these luminescent yellow mushrooms that used to be more active. These days they're pretty faint, but there is one large, huge mushroom that still emits a soft glow in the northwest corner. And this is the big croak's hut. The last occupant of that was Zektul. You see there's like a little throne underneath it and a little lizard skin rug for him to rest his feet on. They don't spend much time there anymore. It was kind of a meeting place, kind of where they would like get orders from Zektul, but pretty much it. You see schools of bright blue fish kind of darting around in the water. A couple of grung are like fishing with spears. There are some traders you talk to that they were like, one person sold alchemical potions and bombs and stuff, poisons, and the other sold blow darts. They also would hang out on the canopy at the northeast.
Well, I could go to the Luminarium and look for clues for Zektul's whereabouts.
Sure.
Then you guys can do whatever you want.
I, too, is going to go to the Luminarium where the big croak hangs out. Used to hang out.
Should we split the party and should Gil and I go talk to Quix? And see if we can get any information from him about where they might be?
Yeah.
We could start there. He would he's a ranger by trade, despite his new leadership position, so he'd be aware of you guys entering their encampment. He swings down, he looks kind of happy to see you. Like, gosh, you guys are quick. How'd it go? What was that sound?
They were trying to animate one of my dragon friends. Do you ever have the pleasure of meeting Fungorium?
He says, okay, holy shit. Hang on. The two things. You have dragon friends? And
yeah, we caught a ride once. He was pretty nice.
Wow. How do you guys do it? No, I'm not familiar. I thankfully never ran into this thing. Then I kind of ferocious.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, have you ever seen those, like, brown mushrooms? And Bazelle gives him an explanation of what they look like. They're kind of goldeny brown.
Yeah.
And they're about yay big. And have you ever seen those around in your rangering times?
He looks at it. He says, "No, the kind of mushroom you're describing, I've never seen really ever in this corner of in this piece of the swamp that we are quite familiar with. So that's foreign to this northwest corner of the swamp."
All right. Well,
why do you ask us?
So just curious about mushrooms. I'm really getting into mycology and just really interested in figuring out, you know.
He kind of squints at you.
They're a really fun guy, you know.
That's hilarious. I've never heard that.
Wait, what?
All the grung are laughing at that joke. One of them runs off to tell Zara.
So Gazelle reaches up to touch the silk. And she goes up and touches it and is the silk is it like a soft fabric-y thread? Or is it more like a spider web sticks to her hand sort of deal?
It's not sticky. It's firm and smooth. So it works well for you could like make a, like they're kind of using it as flooring, like hammock style, you know?
Yeah.
It works for that. Yep.
Hey, do you mind if can I borrow a little bit of this? I think I could figure out how to use this for something.
Sure. Yeah. It's nice, right?
Yeah. Oh, it's great. It's excellent.
Here, he like he has a companion that's a giant silverwing moth. Here, my little buddy will kind of craft some out for you if you want.
Oh, that'd be great. Thank you.
Just like right in your hand.
I hold out my hand.
Cool. It's a fucking simp.
I think maybe Bazelle just like takes Quill's hand and like pulls it underneath the moth and like opens it.
And I do it with like a kind of like a nonplussed like look, just kind of a, you know, sure. Here I am.
He like shakes his head. He's like, "You guys are freaking nasty." And he gives the go ahead for his moth to crank out some silk for you.
How many units of animal silk does Quill get into his hand?
Bolts and bolts.
Yep, you guys may have found a hack.
Oh yeah.
He's like, "Well, that's about four uses, but he's pretty spent. He's pretty spent. He's got a refractory period, so."
Bazelle takes one of the uses and starts just like poking at it to try and figure out what it does for Jewelcraft.
So yeah, we're calling this animal silk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why the hell not? Naturally, that's a spell charge item for Entangle.
All right, cool. And Bazelle finds this. Well, so, you know, we made it to the wall. I forgot to tell you, we saw Zektul, but it wasn't really him. Hmm. It was this thing called a facsimile. of the Zektul.
Oh, sure. Yeah, facts.
Yeah. We think he's, well, I don't know. I guess you told us he might be up above the wall, but we don't really know where. I was kind of thinking it would be more of like a playpen size, but it turned out to be much bigger than I was expecting. Where do you think? Oh, he's also doing some necromancy. So if you were going to do some stuff, you know, north of the wall with necromancy, where would you go? Where's the best spot for that? You got any erects? I'm kind of new to town.
He's like, wait, he's the reason?
Well, I don't know if we know it was him or not, but it looked like him. Whatever it was looked like him. But he was definitely...
Gosh, he's such a freaking tool. That guy. He looks kind of shocked by that.
Well, he could have guessed it. I mean, that's a little bit on you, frankly.
Well, okay, look, a lot's been going on. Kind of a big... 24 hours, okay? Sorry.
Yeah, I suppose. Okay.
I'm going to do an insight about how serious his, like, surprise was.
Okay.
At that. Shit. 10.
Can't really get a read on it.
Okay.
He says, yeah, sorry.
Like my point of view, what I was kind of looking for was, like, and I'll take it, but... I'm not thinking that he was like being dishonest. Mm-hmm. I just think there's like ways that comment could have been like really seriously surprised or just kind of like, oh, that seems weird. What a tool, whatever. I'm going to just suggest to him. Well, you know, there's some weird stuff with this miracle. You ever heard of that? I worry that he might be under the influence of something. Like something nefarious. So it might not be his fault. Have you ever seen and I described a symbol, the triangle with the skull inside of it.
He says, no, that looks kind of spooky. I have not seen that. He says, well, you know, I just having come into this role, I'm starting to kind of learn the ropes. Zara has been telling me different things about what he left behind and what little instruction he gave us or he gave her at the time. There's not much. The one thing I would say is you could check out the hut, Big Croak's hut. It's been closed ever since he left. He put Zara in charge and he put a lock on it of some kind, and we haven't really been able to figure out how to get in. So there might be.
Well, just don't assume the worst of him. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, he was not a very good leader, but I'll try.
Or maybe he's really bad. I don't know.
You're getting like distaste from him, and also like he's way in over his head with all this. He's bewildered.
Yeah.
So this is kind of more bad news. Like he's like thinking I'm going to have to keep doing this for a while.
I believe in you, Quix.
Quill, like, hey, yeah, you keep saying that, but it doesn't really help.
Quill, you need to wash your hands, please, and thank you.
I billow my cloak as I walk away to wash my hands. Because I have the cloak of billowing.
there's like a tiny, like an infant or like a toddler groan. It's like, whoa. that's what you get.
As I walk by, I kind of like look at him and wink. And so then I cool. wash my hands. Yeah.
Actually, he just croaks because this one probably didn't speak common. Did I answer all your questions that you asked? I kind of got lost in it there.
Yeah.
He's saying that.
He basically said he had no idea where he'd be if we went north of the wall. But that his hut might have some information about that.
Yep.
After I heard that. To
try to break into his hut.
That's what I got. That he gave us permission. And given that there's like this. It seems suggested that place could be like. There could be some shit going on at that hut. I immediately start going there because I know that Theron and Rick are going to be going there. So I'm worried that they could get like screwed up.
Okay, so we'll cut over to them while you guys are talking to Quix.
Yeah. So I'm gonna head that way as soon as we're done.
So as Azel and Quill are talking to Quix, Theron and Rick arrive at the Luminarium Nexus to find it totally empty. Again, there are some faded mushrooms around the perimeter that once held some magic and light in them. There's some carved out, knocked over tree trunks that kind of serve as like an amphitheater, sort of. And they're facing this this thing is like 20 feet wide at the top, this massive, faintly luminescent yellow mushroom. It's got a very thick stalk that you can't see from the bird's eye view, but it's thick enough that it could be a small room on the interior. And approaching it, you see that it's totally smooth on the outside of it, except there's a little knob, a little wooden knob sticking out.
This guy loves smooth things. That's all we know about Zectuel.
I wanted to investigate the rug.
The rug? Okay, sure. What's your attack here? Why?
+3, +6. I don't know. There might be clues under the rug. I'm going to look under there.
Sure.
Nat 20.
Well,
wow.
For a rug check.
I was jokingly, I can't say this now because they'll take me seriously. I was going to say, yeah, there's a key under the rug. They just never checked. No, the rug is a very nice specimen. It's a large, like, reptilian, big crocodile beast that they apparently killed at some point in the swamp. I will allow you to obtain some crafting ingredients with Nat 20 off of this rug, if you so choose.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Absolutely.
Fiend's heart, baby.
The heart of a fiend.
Pick one ingredient that you want and you'll get two of them. It's a Nat 20, I gotta do something for you.
Let's see. I gotta get to the
what's that? And we'll make it make sense after the fact. Like that one time you guys, somebody rolled really high on like the lava snake, or no, one of the bosses at the cauldron like collected dragon scales. Yeah, like a collection. Because they rolled high enough. Why not? Sure. This is like my ultimate lazy hack around not having a bunch of shops outfitted with magic items to buy that you can craft things, which you still have hardly done, but you've discovered a lot.
The completionist in us.
Mm-hmm. You're trying to platinum.
Yeah. Like I just want to find out everything out about the game, right?
How about Fiend's Heart?
Sure. If that's what you want. Yeah. We'll say this thing, this fiendish...
Hell yeah.
This is kind of a fiendish crocodile that happens, that famously has a double cardiac system. And now I'm for sure going to make that monster exist for you guys to fight later. But that's fun. Theron, you get 2 Fiend's Hearts.
Sweet.
Congrats.
Good shit.
It's just like, for some reason, they left him attached to the rug. Like, underneath the rug. It just looks there.
Little lumps. I thought it looked morphy. That's why I had to.
Yeah.
Rick, what do you want to do?
There was a knob that was called out
by the mushroom stalk.
Yeah. I'm going to go about... rub a knob.
Okay. I think
that's the normal way to say that, right?
Rub the knob.
Yep.
Yeah.
Casey's really trying to hold it in right now. Yeah, it's a wooden like hand-sized knob. You go to touch it. It's actually it's ribbed. It's got ridges on it. It's not smooth.
When we say this is like a really average sized knob, or
it's actually quite short. It's a chode.
It's like a mushroom knob.
Yeah, but it's got. I am serious about the ridges.
Ribbed.
That
I thought you were talking about something else.
That really is real. Nice. I just described it that way. Yeah, it's a it looks like a doorknob. It's wooden, but it has like a spiral design on it.
Are the ribs seemingly in a random pattern or in a pattern?
A spiral.
Bazel goes up and touches it and is like, I've tried this one before.
Okay, so Bazel and Quill are now finished talking with Quicks. They show up.
Sorry. I'm not even there.
No, it's fine. That worked out about right.
No, you're there.
You're there. If you
I was contemplating the carpet long enough, so the rug. Pretty good here.
You go to handle the knob and it doesn't budge if you try to open it.
Can we push on it?
Can I do knock?
So I'll answer Rick first. When you try to rotate it or push on it or pull it, you see a series of letters kind of flash, seemingly at random, on the surface of the mushroom itself. And I'll write these out for you. There's five sets of five letters. You gotta get this right. This is critical. And these are just randomly flashing, but you pick out that there's five sets of letters here as they randomly flash. One set is UPSIH. One set is OODED. One set is TURNT.
Turnt.
Turnt, yeah. One set is BWNDE. And then the fifth one is NKROO. So these five sets of five letters are just flashing whenever you interact with the knob. But the knob itself does not move. Quicks is kind of followed behind, and he's like, yeah, we saw that. None of us can make sense of this. It's like a joke. I guess he played. He put a code on the door when he left. I told you he's a freaking tool. But we saw it. One of them said turn. So one night we all just like got kind of wasted. And that didn't help. It was fun, though. You can try that. That was fun. I wouldn't say don't do that. You know. Oh, yeah. Okay. I think I've said enough.
Is there anything by the doorknob? Like, these words are flashing, but are there, like, knockers or anything?
No, there's no knockers. Just the doorknob. And if you, like, inspect the surface, you don't see, like, a hinge or a seam for a door to open. It's just this knob that's stuck into the mushroom.
Okay, so it doesn't even look like a door. There's just a knob.
Correct.
I just start knocking.
It's just like a wet thud as you knock on the mushroom.
So three of the five, I can make a command.
Yeah.
With one extra letter. So like there's push. A push and then an I, a turn, and then a T, a bend, and then W. But the other two, I don't see anything.
Do the remaining letters make a word?
Well, I don't know what the remaining letters are. There's two of the sets of... I've only got three of the five sets.
Quicks has already gotten bored and has turned around and started spearfishing. But he's hanging out on this main island with you guys. He's walking away. You hear him. He's like, thank God I'm not a freaking idiot. I was super worried they were going to get that right away.
Oh.
If you think there are any checks, I always entertain that idea too.
Can I, do I get the sense the doorknob can go up, down, left, right, as well as turn?
You try to like jiggle it around?
Yeah, like push it in different directions.
Sure. Versus yeah. It seems like it's just totally, as you stand there and mess with it, it just doesn't do anything.
At rotating, it doesn't work either.
Correct.
Okay.
You just keep seeing these letters flash up.
Is there anything else in this room interesting? Anything else flashing when we make the letters flash when you touch it? Anything else?
Like in the luminarium? In this little island?
Yep.
Give me a perception check, Rick.
Okay. 13.
You just notice that the mushroom kind of glows a little bit and these letters come off of it when you interact with the doorknob.
That's what I got.
Road, you had to sneak that road wood in there, didn't you?
And then I had to end with a O.
Oh, that's the O face. You solved it.
The O face.
I don't know what's sexy about knitting, but...
Yeah.
Bend, turn, push, knit, road wood. Oh.
That's the... Yeah, those words exist.
That's true. Yep.
I'm at a loss.
I'm really bad at these things. I thought I was on a roll.
This is a hard one. I hope that I've presented it correctly. I think I have. I got this from a book. This is not my design. I look over and Quix is like, yeah, I got one. And pulls back a fish. So it's like just really viciously gut it in front of you guys. Right in front of Giselle.
So these are flashing up there in this list and then just repeating in the same order?
Going in that order. Nope. That's random. The order has been random.
Oh, but these five words are repeating randomly?
Those five, yes. Those five sets of letters. So you keep seeing like Turnt, and then you'll see like NK Rue, and you'll see Upsai, and then you'll see Turnt again, and then Uded. There's no order to them as they're presented to you.
Okay.
But these are the five consistently. Yeah, these are the five that are showing up.
Okay.
Upsai, Uded, Turnt. So there's no way to really manipulate these words that we're seeing come in. From what
manipulate how?
Like, you can't stop them. You can't make them reorganize them. I mean, from like... Because there's no thing that we can use to do that. So we just see them, these words, like, randomly are coming.
Yeah, I should have been more...
When we touch the knob.
They're showing up, with, like, they're, like, lit, like, backlit against a mushroom. The surface of the mushroom stalk. So they're not... Yeah, they're not a physical thing you could interact with.
Okay, so, like, only we can touch the knob, but the knob doesn't really do anything. Like, if we touch the knob, it just...
It just makes the letters appear. Yep.
It
kicks off a series of the letters whenever you touch the knob.
What happens if I touch a letter while it's lit up? Anything?
Nope. Just feels soft and damp.
What happens, like, if I try to push, like, if I touch the top of the knob versus the bottom of the knob?
You want to give me an investigate on the knob?
Sure. 15.
Okay. Again, it doesn't budge no matter how you seem to, as you're just like standing there messing around with it, it doesn't seem to do anything when you touch it. With that check, you notice this, there's a spiral pattern on it. The spiral is going in a clockwise fashion. That's like the one remarkable thing about it is the carving. You're Quix in the corner is like suddenly like, ow! Shoot. Bit my tongue.
Upside down turn. So what about like turning the knob? It's not possible to turn the knob. So I'm sure somebody's tried already.
Yeah, you just walk up to it and grab it and try to twist it like a doorknob.
Yeah, I'm focusing on the spiral pattern. Like, okay. I don't really care about like trying to turn it to open it. I'm trying to like manipulate the spiral pattern. Or like mess with it.
The actual spiral pattern on the knob.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. It's just carved in like it was. It's a piece of wood that had a spiral pattern carved clockwise. It's
okay. Nice.
EBW.
If I say upside down, does it say something?
Say upside down out loud.
Yeah.
Nothing happens. What got you there?
I feel like I see upside down in these letters.
I agree with you.
Yeah. I'm trying to sort them by ones that aren't mirrored up and down. So U, E,
So you could do like, yeah.
That didn't work.
One thing that's occurring to me, so these letters are correct, but the way that they're spaced could be kind of throwing you guys off. As your characters stare at these long enough, they're, you know, that like coding, not, I don't know if coding is the right word, but the font where, like that old computer font where each letter is the same width.
Yep.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
These are like that. So they would form a 5x5 grid if you.
I see.
Like, so the way I wrote these out, they don't look like they're in a 5x5 square, but they would if you were to stack them.
So maybe the columns have something to do with it.
That's what I've been staring at. I'm still not getting anywhere.
Yeah, I'm not sure how to like.
I like put it into a different.
Yeah, make it look good. I can try. That's more of a 5x5 square. You hear like a jingling of a half-empty bottle behind you, and you see Quix is shaking like a little flask of moonshine. He's like, you guys want to try it?
He's getting turned.
You guys want to try getting turned again? Maybe we just like, maybe we didn't get turned enough. Maybe we need to really get turned.
So I feel like the spiral has to do with it.
Has anyone tried starting in the middle and spiraling out? Like starting with that R and
yeah,
spiraling clockwise from there somehow?
It didn't work for me.
Okay.
But
I didn't start from
the R. I don't
know
what I'm doing, so.
But I was trying to go diagonal. I was also trying to go up and down.
And upon close inspection of the spiral on the doorknob, it doesn't go from the middle out, spirals outside in a clockwise fashion.
Where does the spiral begin?
Top left.
Top left?
Mm-hmm.
And it goes clockwise.
Yep. Spirals towards the center. This is all fair to give you because somebody had a check that was like a 15 on that. It wouldn't be that hard to see that on the doorknob.
So which of these words makes sense going backwards? That doesn't make sense either.
There's like an upsend. That's a thing we've looked at, haven't looked at, or I haven't looked at. That starts the spiral.
Oh, yeah, I see. Okay.
But I like die right there. I can't. There's nothing else.
Also, the words can go in. If they're flashing up at random, they don't necessarily have to be in this order.
Yeah, the order is, I've just given you a random order of those rows. Yeah, you can move.
Oh, the rows are random?
The rows are, I tried to make that clear. I don't know. The rows, because it's not, they're not flashing like a grid at you. They're just flashing like UPSIH.
Oh, shit.
And then like.
So then it has to
B-W-N-D.
It has to start with turn. Because that's the only one that starts with a full.
That's an actual word.
Yeah. And then.
Oh.
And then
it'll
go.
So turn is the first row.
Yeah. Turn to.
And then we're going to spiral. The next one would be
going. It'll be going down, starting with a T. And it's the last letter of each word.
Right. So it'd be.
TH. EOD, or that's the form of the word.
TOEDH.
Turn this.
Or turn to.
Turn this. Okay. Door. Not. I see the word door now. And then it ends. Doorknob.
Oh, yeah. Doorknob.
Yep.
So I think.
I feel like I'm just like putting these letters together weirdly. Turn
the row
this.
With the
I don't know what to do with
get,
the P right
how
now.
How do you guys get this?
I just T H I S. So turn and then T is the and then it goes to H I S. That's where I got this, but I don't know what to do with the P U. I'm ignoring that right now. But then the end. D O
with like slips of paper, this would be a lot easier to do mentally.
Yeah. I'm like typing shit out and like, where am I getting these letters from right now?
I feel like I fucked you guys up by making you think that those had to be the five rows in a row. They're random, but the rows are all the same. The five letters in each row are the same.
Turn the doorknob upside down.
Yep. I just got it right when you did. Nice. It's turned up SHIBWNDEOODED.
Yep, because it goes.
Yeah, yeah, it keeps spiraling. Good work, man. Guys, we did it. That was fucking fun.
I like that.
The door, right when I saw a doorknob, I was like, wait, I'm getting there.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, all of us, I think we solved that a lot faster together than we would have independently. Because I wouldn't have thought of the spiral and the doorknob. Somebody else figured that out. It was cool how we solved that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really good.
So, what do you do?
How do we turn the doorknob upside down?
Bizelle does a handstand, like a yoga pose handstand in front of it.
Beautiful.
Bizelle's like trying that shit in front of the door.
Nice. Yeah. Sure, it's not her first time doing yoga. Yes, Bizelle turns the doorknob upside down, and it turns when she's upside down. And the door opens. So the door seems to come out of nowhere. It's just the flesh of the mushroom kind of gives, and you can waltz into this. It's kind of a cramped space for all four of you, but you just see that there are like charcoal drawings and some like maps. You kind of get a sense of like desperation and crazedness when you see the writing. He was a noble, so he's writing in common. You just see depictions of the cauldron. You see, shockingly, you see Galandro Luna's face a few times, the lead scientist down there at the cauldron. He's kind of depicted as like this, you know, maniacal, flame crazy mad scientist in these drawings. And he's been like X'd out a few times angrily with charcoal. You see a depiction of the cauldron spewing ash everywhere. A couple of failed medical experiments to save Grung from the ash. Didn't work out, just little drawings on pieces of parchment. And then you start in kind of the crazier areas of writing and diagrams. You see maps that he appears to be drawing from memory of the Grung settlement and the ruins to the northwest beyond the wall. You now have an idea of which quadrant that's in that he went to. So not an exact location, but much closer than just randomly wandering around. You see a depiction of an amulet that has that triangle with a skull on it. It looks old and quite a detailed drawing, like he had help with that. And a couple other, two other artifacts that the Grung nobility had. So there's three artifacts back there, and he went and headed back for that amulet with Mirkul's symbol on it. That's readily obvious, but do you have any other questions about what you're seeing?
And that's a Grung artifact?
Well, it was in their possession.
Okay. All right.
One of the core tenets when we built this world, it seemed like there were lots of artifacts. Like people were discovering the Ocarina, and like there was lots of just people digging shit up that found its way here. So this would kind of follow that this amulet with Mirkul's symbol on it came into their possession. But yeah, and there's two other magical artifacts also in the ruins that he makes kind of passing note of, but that you don't recognize.
Can we figure out where those are?
Yeah. He has sort of depicted like a stash behind the throne where all three of these would have been located. The Grung nobility would have kind of kept secreted away from the rest.
What do the other two look like?
They're kind of blurry. You can't, it's like he's insanely focused on this amulet that that's all you can you can see clearly what that is, but you're not sure what the other two things are. He doesn't seem like those were as important to his immediate goals, but they exist.
So we can glean what coordinate he might be in the graph from this.
You can get here. I can pull that back up. He was somewhere. It's a quadrant. It's like the west part of the ruins. So you see these like these trees dotting. Those are just symbolic. There's many more trees than that. There's not like eight trees. There's this big main structure of ruins in the middle of everything, and then lower and to the left on the map, there's a couple of smaller ruins. So he's kind of like somewhere in that general vicinity. One of those hexes is where the throne room was situated with the secret stash.
So that's like C and D and like 5 through 8 or something?
B through F. Yeah, 5 through 8.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's a reasonable place to start instead of just going in there.
Yeah.
And hopefully that kind of tells a little bit of the story of what happened with him.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like he kind of went crazy trying to figure out like what the problem was, thought that the people were evil to the south at the cauldron.
So he's trying to... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, do you think it's too much of a stretch to that maybe he thought that by bringing back the Grung from the dead, they would have more life? Like that would be a way to heal them from the ash illness, was to bring them back to life and necromance them?
I think that's one interpretation, yeah.
He definitely hated the settlers, that's for sure.
Maybe he just didn't know them well enough.
And who was the character that he X'd out again? That was part of
it. Yeah, that was Galandro Luna. You guys spent some time with him. He was... Here it is. He was the head scientist at the Ashfort. He made it. Made it all the way.
I didn't say it.
Did you think it was going to be you, Harrison?
I didn't. You got me. You guys got me. Yeah, I walked right into that. Yeah, he was the lead scientist there, and he's kind of a pragmatic dude. He was sort of a failure at, you know, his charge was to discover artifacts and make them useful to the Whitehaven folk. And so he had been having trouble with that until you guys came along and pieced together what the Ocarina could do with the cauldron. And then he stayed behind with Theron's conch up there. He's trying to reverse engineer that. He's been there for a little while now with his scientists. So he's trying to figure out how to capture elemental power.
Do you think that Galandro could be in danger? Is there any chance that the big croak, because we've only seen a facsimile of that dude up by the wall.
Well, I mean, he's been creating these like people creatures to come south. Yeah. So I think that's what, I mean, maybe he's got something else going on, but I feel like he's been doing what he can to, I don't know.
Okay.
But who knows?
Yeah. I mean, the only way to like, yeah, I guess we got to go back north. It's just the opposite way if he is in danger.
Right.
Quicks like stumbles in with that half bottle of moonshine now empty.
he's turned.
He's turned. He's like, oh, it worked. I got turned this time and it works.
Quicks, you got turned enough.
It did.
He's like, you haven't heard him swear yet. He's like, fuck, it's just drawings. That's it.
Thank you for your efforts.
Chris, it's, yeah, getting turnt might have worked to solve this puzzle, but maybe when you're deciding what to do, don't get so turnt.
Yeah.
Well, do we want to start heading back up there? Does anybody need to rest? Or are we good? Oh, we haven't rested since that fight. We need to rest while we're here.
Didn't get hurt because I was 200 feet from... Yeah. Everything.
I was gonna say, if we can get you some fine wood or figure out what cantrip echoes, the other thing for cantrip echoes is
that would break the game. I hope you guys do that, because
cantrip echoes would be fucking wild on you, because yeah. It's like it doubles the right. It's like casting.
Well, it has a chance to, but he can't. I think it's on a d6 maybe.
Oh, well, then it's never going to happen.
Hey, that's on you, man. You're rolling that D6. Like, shit, it's not me.
That would be very strong.
It'd be, yeah, that's a good one for you. Did you guys ever make your... Oh, no. You discovered how to make a wand of the War Mage, but you don't have to find wood anymore. That's right. Okay. Yeah, we're getting up to the timer. Should we break here?
Seems like a good place to stop.
I mean, I can keep going if you guys... It's just usually where we stop, so...
Seems like a reasonable breaking point.
Yeah. Should we say that we're long resting?
Sure, yeah. Yep, you could hang out at the Nexus, or there's room in the canopy, too, if you wanted to post up somewhere safe. So yeah, we'll start next session fully rested, and we'll kick off a good old-fashioned hex map dungeon crawl.
Hell yeah.
It's gonna test your resource saving capabilities, I think.
Hell yeah.
I needed some of my key back real bad.
Yeah, I was telling Casey after that last session, I was cool with either way it went, but I was expecting the dragon to get resurrected and then to fly off, and then you guys have to deal with that in the future as an undead dragon, but you guys organized really nicely for that fight, so.
It was helpful that we could have someone just, like, blast 200 feet away.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny, I actually...
Back, like, sniping.
It's, yeah. That's like classic DMing, because I made the map much bigger than my previous maps, because I didn't want like one hypnotic gaze to get all four of the casters. So I was like, all right, I'm going to make it a big map. And then Rick's like, you fucked up, son.
Got
turret.
Literally everyone could just have started chasing Rick at the beginning of the fight, and it never got to him. He just sat there and blasted as they ran.
Yeah.
Spell snipe him.
Yep, that's cool.